the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Right, we are turning our attention to rugby. The 34 times Ireland capped, 14 seasons with Leinster. Fergus McFadden has called Diamond a brilliant career this week, and delighted to say he's going to join us next on OTB AM for a chat. First, though, one of Fergus's former teammates got in touch with us when he heard that he'd be joining us this morning. Take a look.
Ferg, huge congrats on a brilliant Leinster and Ireland career. I love playing in the same team as you, be it in blue or in green. And not only were you the life and soul of the dressing room, but more importantly, the way you delivered in big games when the going got tough. You know, you were one of the ones that people turned to when it was time to roll your sleeves up. I have not known anyone with an insatiable appetite for pain quite like you. Competitiveness personified and just an unwillingness to ever give up. And I think they're the real traits that will serve you well in the next life as well. You look at your trophy cabinet, phenomenal, multiple wins with Leinster and Ireland. But I think it's the friendships and the mark that you have left on the players that you played with is the most impressive thing. And who'll ever forget that ovation you got back in 2014 when you came on against Italy in the 65th minute. So happy retirement, and it was a pleasure.
Lovely stuff from Brian O'Driscoll. Fergus McFadden, good morning to you.
Hey, how are things?
How are you getting on?
Yeah, grand, as well as you could be, I suppose, in the current climate. It's been obviously a mad enough few days for me. Just after Sunday, the phone was very busy. So it was bit nuts.
Yeah, what's it been like, sort of listening to people like Brian there, and I presume other I presume some current as well, players and coaches, and I presume people getting in touch to congratulate you.
Yeah, I think when I gave the statement out to Leinster, I thought, you know, I was just, you know, I have been building myself up for this for quite a while, so I thought I'd be fine. And then I suppose just when I started getting the messages and hearing from family and friends and current and past players, that's kind of when it got a little bit emotional at times. But, very, very much happy emotions. And, I'm very proud of what I've been involved in throughout my career, and I feel very lucky as well.
Yeah, and rightly so. When you say you've been thinking about it for a while, did you know at the start of the season this was going to be your last?
Yeah, pretty much. I was kind of toying with this, probably even this previous season, just thinking about when I was going to do it. And then I signed on for one more year, and then when I did that, just that talking to my wife and stuff like that, I thought finishing this year, I'm turning 34 next June. I feel like, you know, I don't have as many caps as the likes of a Jamie Heaslip or others, but there's a fair few miles under the clock, and I think I've gotten a lot out of my body. I also wanted to try and finish when I felt like I was still adding a fair bit on the pitch. Which I think, you know, any of the opportunities I have had this year, I've done, I feel. So, I just felt it was the right time this year to finish up at the end and, you know, try to do it somewhat on my own terms. At least my body's in one piece. And listen, if the pandemic means that I don't play for Leinster again, then, you know, I can only be grateful for what I've had so far. And if I do, then fantastic. That's the way I'm looking at it, really.
There must have been a huge temptation, Fergus, to, like you say, you are going at your own terms. You're still a fairly young man, like in sporting terms. A lot of players would eke another 2, 3, 4 years out of their career. It must have been hugely tempting to either at Leinster or somewhere else to have notched up another year.
It was a little bit, but, you know, as much as I respect guys that have managed to play on into their mid-30s and some into their late-30s. It just wasn't for me. I think I've had a great run of it. And I just think I felt like this year was just, I wanted to, once I signed the contract, I wanted to just enjoy every last day that I had, knowing that it was going to be my last. And you know, up to the point of us being sent home with the pandemic, I felt like I did.
Yeah. And so what's the, once you've decided then that this is what I'm doing, have you, were the people at Leinster aware before it started the season, or who's the first person you're, I often wonder who's the first person you ring in an official sense to say, listen, that's it, I'm out.
Yeah. The first person in Leinster or in the rugby environment, so my family would have kind of known that that's what I decided to do, but it was Leo. You know, he's obviously my boss for the past few years, but I had an extremely good relationship with him as a player, and I've also had a very good relationship with him when he's been my coach. So I just had a kind of matter of fact conversation with him at pretty much the start of the season, and I told him that we had, you know, that was going to be my decision. So
yeah. I remember Bernard Brogan a couple of years ago saying that he had a similar conversation with Jim Gavin coming towards the end of his days. It felt like Bernard was sitting down with Jim Gavin with the express intention that, you know, hopefully he says, well, listen, we sort of still need you around the place. Was that part of your thinking, or what was the response from Leo when you had that conversation?
Listen, I don't know what Leo's like. You know, Leo kind of just said, let's try win some trophies. I think the best thing about him that's kind of always been one of his best characteristics is he's had so much success as a player and a coach, but he's always looking forward. There wasn't really much nostalgic chat. It was just about the current season and crack on, and we'd have, you know, hopefully nicer conversations about looking back in the past later on in the year.
Yeah. How do you, when you look back over, like we mentioned about the number of caps, obviously, and the, I was looking at it last night. You obviously played in two of the four Heineken Cup finals that Leinster would have won over those years, and you would have played a part in others. You were obviously injured for one of them. Maybe selection went against you in another. How many actual Heineken Cup medals do you have?
Well, I've actually got four. I probably okay. Shouldn't have four. Because I played in three competitions. I was in the 2009 year. I played quite a lot in the Celtic League, or the Magners League. But Czechs never capped me that year in the Heineken Cup. I was 24th man, I think, for around seven games. I was 24th man for the final as well. And I still have great memories of that. Like, you know, it was at the time, it was one of my first or second years in the senior squad. And I was just delighted to be that close to it for, you know, Leinster to win the Heineken Cup for the first time ever. I wasn't like, oh, God. Like, as much as I would have loved to have been picked, you know, the team was so talented at that stage in the back line. I was just trying to learn as much as possible from the likes of Brian, Gordon, Shaggy, Gervin Dempsey. You know, obviously Rob had broken on and Luke was there. And, you know, Felipe as well, who got injured obviously in the semi. But just all of those guys were there, and I looked up to them so much in school. So I was just trying to sponge off them as much as possible to learn and yeah, so I think it's three medals I have official, and then, but funnily enough, actually.
In that video before you came on, Virgus, where Brian O'Driscoll was talking about you, he said that you have an insatiable appetite for pain. What does that mean specifically? Is it that you were the hardest trainer? Does it mean that you would go in for tackles that other people perhaps wouldn't?
Do you know what? It's been. Just hearing some of the stuff that past players and the likes of Brian have said, it really has been pretty emotional for me, because, you know, when you're in the trenches with guys, you know, in games where sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but, you know, I don't think there's any other workplace or sport really where you could really get to know someone as much as being a professional rugby player. I think, you know, between selection either going your way or not going your way one week, or, you know, the highs and lows of winning, losing, you know, winning trophies today or winning trophies at the end of the seasons, and having so many great days together, you really do build a bond that I think is just kind of there for forever. And I don't know. I mean, the people that said this stuff about me, you can kind of ask them. But I suppose I worked for everything I got, really. You know, I was never, you know, the absolute quickest, you know, I was ever never the absolute, you know, most skillful player, but I probably got the most out of myself, and I think maybe guys respected that.
I guess when they see you soldiering along in the trenches beside them, and you are going to a level above yourself, even that you perhaps feel you could achieve week in, week out, that just garners a whole pile of respect from them. It's almost the level of effort that not only that they expected, but that perhaps took people by surprise, or that like you can hear that's the thing that O'Driscoll goes for in the voice message there. That clearly this is the thing that people were impressed by, because it's a hard thing to sometimes identify who actually has the highest work rate or who has the most appetite for pain, but clearly it's something that you had that struck out to your teammates.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Brian, you know, when me and Brian used to get pretty competitive in training. Obviously, he's one of the best competitors of all time for Leinster and Ireland. And during the summer, one of the pre-seasons we had, we were playing these games with Joe Schmidt. It was like a double touch drill. And a few weeks before, he had blocked me a few times in the games. And it was crafty, because Joe couldn't have blown it up for it being foul play. So a couple of weeks later, then I blocked him once, and we kind of went through for a try. And in those fitness games, if you're on the back foot and a team starts scoring, you can do an awful lot of running. So we started scoring consecutively, and he had said when I blocked him the first time, if you do that again, I'm gonna hit you a box. And I was like, okay, so I ran on. So I did do it again, and it was a bit of handbags, and then he hit me a slap, and he split my eye, but we had to be pulled up to us. Joe Schmidt sent me inside, and I went into Vincent's to John Ryan to get my eye stitched up, but. You know, then I talked to him that evening, and everything was grand. Like, I think by the sounds of things, like, that was just such a lovely thing to hear from Brian, because I was lucky enough to, you know, look up to him in school coming out of when I played schools rugby. You know, I massively looked up to him, and then for him to become a teammate and such a good friend, it's been a pretty lovely journey. So for him to say that stuff, it's kind of the ultimate compliment, really, coming from the best ever do it.
Especially because he punched you in the face once.
Exactly. But we were actually, listen, it was water under the bridge straight away. Like, I've done things on the field in training, and I've thrown the weight around that I have here, so I can't complain too much.
How do you reflect on the overall achievements, Fergus? Like, you yourself have sort of spoken about yeah, I suppose your own limitations, and I'm using your own terminology there rather than my own, but in terms of, you know, the 34 caps and the achievements that you've had, like, do you reflect on it and say, Jesus, that was unbelievable, I never imagined I would get that? Or because there were times, I know specifically over the last few years, there was 3 or 4 years ago, you were a first pick winger for Ireland. You were in the form of your life, and you got injured. There were definitely a couple of injuries along the road there that might have resulted in a few more caps. How do you reflect in an overall sense? Could it have been 50, or actually was the 34 pretty good going?
I don't really reflect like that. I've kind of, you know, naturally in professional sport, I think when you start, you know, I was lucky to come into the environment when things really started to pick up, and the trophy started to come, and the timing of it was nice. But I don't want to be one of those people that looks back and goes, God, you know, if that just happened, I could have, you know, really got 10 more caps, or, you know, won those few more trophies. I think I'm just grateful for the journey that I was on. I can only be grateful for it. You know, there's going to be a couple of finals maybe you look back at and go, God, it could have been a couple of medals there in the league that slipped away. You know, the experiences and the medals have been, thankfully, they came thick and fast in around the 2011 to kind of 14 period. So I can't complain.
Yeah. There was chat as well at times where there was a couple of selections that went your way instead of, I know, like Tommy Bow at one point, and there was always that sort of chat about, you know, I was one of Joe's favourites almost. Did that stuff piss you off, or you just sort of pay no attention to it?
I wouldn't, like, probably around 3 or 4 years into playing, I didn't really read a whole lot of stuff that was written, whether it was really positive or really negative. I found that was really the best approach. Because if you're riding high and you're reading all the stuff that people are pumping you up, it's only going to take a week really before some bad performance, and then people think, you know, you're the worst thing ever. So I think you just need to be careful enough about that. And listen, the thing about sport is the fans are entitled to their opinion. You know, like, I've only got lovely messages and love from fans over the past few days, and that's been lovely. And like, most of the fans that I've met after games were always lovely to deal with, so I can't complain.
And like, I wonder, because you mentioned obviously at the start about maybe getting back into a Leinster jersey at some point, are you, from a mindset and a lifestyle point of view at the minute, are you like getting stuck into the Doritos and thinking, listen, it ain't happening, or where's your mindset at the minute?
Stuck into the Doritos. I'm not really into Doritos, to be honest with you. More trying to steer clear, having a few too many beers. But it's not really, I'm not really going to do that when my wife is pretty much, 11 months pregnant. So,
all right, congrats.
That's keeping me on the straight and narrow, along with my 2-year-old son, who's keeping me busy during the day. And I'm doing a fair bit of training. I've got a kind of makeshift gym and a treadmill, and I do a bit of running on Seapoint Rugby Club, pretty close by. So, the training, I'm doing all the sessions that are prescribed from Leinster, but a lot of it is just to get a bit of a clearer headspace. It's a very difficult time for, I think, everyone at the moment, being stuck in their houses and the uncertainty for what's going on. I mean, obviously it's very disappointing to see what's happened to Leinster season, and if it does finish, it would be a real pity. But there's bigger things going on in the world, I think, with people losing loved ones and losing their jobs. It's there's a lot of tragedy around, and you just gotta sit back and say we're pretty grateful in the position we're in.
Sorry, Adrian.
It just must be a very strange situation, Fergus, not knowing when the season is going to end, and by extension, when the career is going to end.
A little bit, but I'm preparing myself that it probably is finished. But at the same time, I'm doing plenty of training to keep myself nice and fit. I'm staying connected to, been in touch with a lot of the lads. I've been in touch with Leo and Stuart. So, if it goes back and the season does roll on and they do need me, then of course I'd love to be involved. Mm. And please God, that does happen. I've been in the professional rugby for quite a while, so no matter how ready you think you are, until that day comes when you retire, you're not really going to know how you feel. So, and that was the emotions probably the last couple of days, where I was probably a good bit more emotional than I expected. So you just don't know what way you're going to feel, and the pandemic uncertainty on top of that doesn't help. But I've got plenty of distractions around the house to keep me occupied, so it's all right.
How annoying is it when people ask you what happens next and what your post-career plans are?
Well, the one good thing with the lockdown is that hasn't happened a whole lot. I'm sure those questions will come thick and fast after. But my plan at the moment is to sit back after, touch wood, my wife has our second child, enjoy that couple of months after that, and assess my opportunities and options from there. I've been trying to weigh up, really.
One of the things that strikes me about the Leinster players of your generation, especially the career you've had, is the characters that you've worked with, and not even just the coaches, like the characters of Checa to Schmidt to Leo Cullen to Stuart Lancaster. If nothing else, there are huge life experiences, I'd imagine, to take away from the experiences of those four men alone and the different attitudes they have towards life. And I'm not talking about coaching here. I'm talking about the wider sense of what you can learn, whether it's business, whether it's your own personal life, that those guys would have taught you, I'd imagine, over the last decade or so.
Yeah, perhaps. I'm sure there'll be an awful lot of transferables from the high performance environment I've been in and working under, you know, so many fantastic coaches, so many kind of different coaches as well. You know, talk about Czechs there, then you talk about Joe Schmidt, talk about Leary, talk about Stewart, even Matt O'Connor. You know, and all the assistant coaches then, and coaches that have been coached with Ireland, you know, Declan Kidney was also very different to those guys I've mentioned. Les Kiss, a great coach. So yeah, all of those guys definitely taught me different things, and hopefully I can bring them into the next step in my life.
Yeah, they're particularly useful when you're dealing with dirty nappies, obviously. It's those learnings. Listen, it's a pleasure catching up with you, Fergus. There's lots of love coming in for you. Needless to say, one that we wanted to wrap things up on that actually came our way a couple of days ago was from Kevin Garry, saying that literally every tribute to you by Leinster and Ireland players has highlighted how you were the hardest and toughest SOB on the pitch. Amazing reputation to leave with, considering the animals that play the game, and talking about loving to hear the stories and reasons behind it, which hopefully we've brought him a little bit of this morning. Enjoy retirement. Best of luck over the next few weeks. I hope everything is safe and well on that front. And thanks for taking the call this morning.
Cheers, lads. Take it easy. Thanks for having me.
Fergus McFadden on the line there, following his announcement this week that he's to retire from rugby, and best of luck to him in whatever it is that comes next. It's 9 a.m. on this Friday morning. We're delighted to have you along with us. You can keep your comments rolling into us here on the YouTube channel, Facebook, wherever it is you're watching us this morning, Twitter, indeed, or anywhere else. And Darragh O'Toole has been in touch saying that Fergus McFadden doesn't get enough credit for also being hilarious. His tweet at Brian O'Driscoll's last game was one of the best tweets ever, which was that standing ovation I got coming off the bench yesterday was amazing. Hashtag thanks. I think that was the one at the RDS where Brian went off after it was his final game, I think, and he got injured. I think I seem to recall him limping off after 25 or 30 minutes. So good stuff there from Fergus McFadden.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.